Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Our Heavenly Father, we'll take just a few minutes and look into your word. I pray your Holy Spirit work freely among us. Teach this passage to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The word race, R-A-C-E, in your King James Version Bible is used four times. Psalm 19:5 says, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. Ecclesiastes 9:11, I return and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet the bread to the wise, nor yet riches to the men of understanding, nor yet favor to the men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. 1 Corinthians 9:24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. And obviously we see it in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, the race that is set before us. You and I are watching a race for the presidency of the United States. We are told to consider. Verse 3 says, consider him, talking of Jesus Christ. And obviously, we are considering the candidates that are running. And on Tuesday, we will cast our vote. But this morning, I'd like you to consider him who has run the race for us. And his name is Jesus Christ. In the next 15 minutes, all I'll be doing is bragging about my Savior, talking about the things that he's done in the past, what he is presently doing, and what he will do in the future. You and I like to brag about people that we love. I was raised by a wonderful Christian mom and dad. My mom is here. My dad is still with us. And obviously, I think the world of him. It's easy for me to brag about my parents. I love them. It's easy for me to brag about this church. I love this church. And no, we're not perfect, not by a long shot. We have our issues. But the fact is, God has blessed this ministry way beyond our wildest dreams. So I love to talk about our church because it's something that I love. I love the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I love my Lord and Savior, and he has never done wrong. He has never made a poor choice. He has always led me in the right direction. And any time when I disagreed him, Stan Griffin was the one that was wrong. He has never been wrong, and he never will be wrong. You can have 100% confidence in what he will do in the future, that he will lead you in the right path. Do you agree with that? Now, having said that, I want you to know what he has done in the past. John 3:16 is a verse that you're familiar with. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that was Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What he's done in the past is he has given his life so that your sins could be forgiven. Now, a lot of times a candidate, one of the things that they want to do if they're running for re-election is they try very much to cover up some of their past choices because they recognize that that didn't go over well with the public. There is a representative that was in the House. He is no longer in the House. We elected him for a particular reason, sent him to Washington to do a particular job, thought he would vote in a particular way, and when he got there, he did not do that. I was not happy. I said so. I know that shocks you. There was a politician meeting in the area recently, and they were asking me if I was going to go and see this individual. And I said, no, not going. There's nothing I can say to that person that they would want to hear. Why would I want to go and ruin my day and their day? Let's let them have a good day, and I'll have a good day. We'll stay apart. There are times where decisions are made that you see that happen, and you think, really? Really? And that's politics. Jesus Christ has never had for me a really moment. He's always been faithful, always there, always caring. And he gave his life so that my sins could be forgiven. Not only that, in Romans chapter 5, if you have your Bible and you're following along, let's take a look at what else he did for us. In Romans chapter 5, in verse number 8, the Bible says, But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I want you to know, no offense, I know you're supposed to build up your audience, and I just want to say for a second, you folks look wonderful this morning, all dressed up, looking so good, smiling, happy. Oh, my word, greatest audience I've ever been around. But you are sinners, alienated from God Almighty. And even in your sin, we talked about sin a little bit last week, and if we could see sin the way God sees sin, one of the ways God sees sin is he sees it as dog vomit. Talked about it last week. I won't go into that. But ever seen dog vomit and think, gee, I wonder how that tastes? I know I wasn't going to go there. But I'm telling you, our sin is more appalling than that to God Almighty. Even while we were that disgusting, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet dog vomit, Christ died for us. Now, I know that's bizarre, but it's true. I cannot paint for you the picture of how appalling we are in sin to a holy and perfect God. But he died for you even in that condition. Go on in that passage, and it says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. I want you to know that even when we weren't worth it, Jesus Christ died for us. And he was willing to put himself out there. That's what he's done for us in the past. Now, what's he doing in the present? Well, Hebrews chapter 12, obviously in our text, the Bible says, for consider him, for what he's done for us in the past, and what he's done for us, what he is now doing, is in our text in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. I'm still in Romans, but you hang in there with me, and Hebrews 12, you would think I'd be a little more. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Where is Jesus Christ? Well, through the Holy Spirit, he's in my heart. But the Bible says he's at the right hand of the Father, ever living, ever making intercession for us. So, you know, once you and I, one of the things we like to do after we've gotten on a really hard job, I like to take a break, sit down, drink coffee, water, root beer, you know, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, all those wonderful godly drinks that Baptists drink, all those stuff. I like to take a break. And you know what I do when I take a break? I look back at all of the things that moi has accomplished. Boy, look at that. Look at that. Jesus does not do that. He's not sitting up there with the Heavenly Father saying, did you see that? Drinking root beer? No. No, he is constantly watching over you and I. And when he sees Stan Griffin do something that's wrong, he's not saying, right, way to go, Stan. I believe he's disappointed. But he's also telling his Heavenly Father, I'll cover that. I'll stand for that. I justified him. I died for his sin. And even though he's a sinner and we do not look lightly on sin, we don't apologize for sin, we never say sin is okay. But when we do sin, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what? We get what we don't deserve every day. We get forgiveness. That's what he's in the business of doing, is being the advocate to my Heavenly Father, being the go-between, being the one that stands between me and the wrath of God because I'm justified through Jesus Christ. And now not having my sin laid upon me, it's been laid upon his son and it's been forgiven. And so now Stan Griffin gets to live a justified faith, justified as if I'd never sinned. And so, you know how I look to God Almighty? Perfect. My wife says, that can't be. No way. But I am. I am perfect because Jesus paid it all. Galatians 2:20 says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the faith, I live by the live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Then it goes on and says, I don't frustrate the grace of God. And it's amazing that you and I, if you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, even though this old body on the outside's getting older, skin's cracking, feet are falling off, whatever's going on, if those things are happening, and they are, I'm looking around you. If you've been in this church for the last 26 years, you know what? Right with me, you're getting older. Every now and then I'll run into one of my classmates who was killed in an industrial accident this week. You know, and every time I see a classmate, some of them I'm out living. Others that are still alive, I look at them and I think, holy, they've gotten old. And they're looking at me thinking the same thing. But I get good news. Inside that body that Christ gave me, that's not older at all. I'm as young as I've ever been. Lean, mean, agile, hostile, mobile. I mean, I got it all in Christ. Because he justified me, I'm perfect in him. Number one, he gave his life for me. Consider him. Consider someone that would die for you. Who do you know you'd take a bullet for? I love Dennis Swanberg talking about, I'd take a bullet for so-and-so. And then he'd look at me and say, Stan, I'd take a bullet in the shoulder for you, you know? You know? So who? Jesus would do that for you. He did that for you. Worse than a bullet. I know we don't have time. It's fleeting. But, you know, every now and then, you ever think about how you wouldn't want to die? I do. I have thought of this. And don't look at me like that. You've thought of it too. Everybody thinks they wouldn't want to be stabbed or run over by a truck or dragged or different things, you know, just different things, you know? I have no idea why I'm going here on this particular point. That's what you get when you get away from your notes. But anyway, you practice preachers. Learn from my mistakes. But the fact of the matter is, there is nothing that Christ wouldn't do for you to take your place. He's done it already. He justified me. I'm perfect in his sight. Not only that, what's he going to do in the future? Oh, this is where it gets really good. Because as you and I get older, we start worrying about the future. Sad to say, my age group right now, 50s, going on to 60, I believe is the highest incidence of suicide going on in the country. This age group right here. What happens? Well, you no longer, you're feeling the aches and pains. You recognize that all the energy and effort and ability that you used to have is gone. You're looking forward to retirement. Maybe you're looking at your finances and thinking the money you thought you'd have at this point in your life, you're not even close to. Maybe you married an expensive wife and she spent everything. No, I digress. But anyway, what, you know? So I want you to know that, Christian, no matter your age, no matter your condition, no matter what your circumstances are, if you know Christ, your best days are ahead of you. I don't care if you're on your deathbed. I don't care if the doctor says stage 4 cancer. I don't care what your circumstances are. Your best days are ahead of you. Because Jesus said in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Thomas looked at him and said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. What's he going to do for us in the future? Right now, while he's at the right hand of the Father, he can do more things, more than one thing at a time. He's got a construction project going on that's been going on for the last 6,000 years. For the last 2,000 years of building. You know, he built the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh, but now he's been gone for 2,000 years and he's building for you and I. What do you think that's going to look like? How awesome will that be? I have a home in heaven. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. He's coming back. Say that with me. He's coming back. And for you and I that know him as our personal Savior, if we're alive when he comes back, we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I'll tell you what, there's great comfort in those words. When you're standing over the gravesite of a loved one that you've set into the ground, the Bible says if they know Christ as their Savior, they're going to go up just slightly ahead of you. And you're going to have a great reunion someday. What do we have in Christ? Consider him. Consider that he gave his life for you. Consider that he's sticking up for you. Consider that he's coming back for you. In my vote, Stan Griffin goes to Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you that you've done all those things for us and much, much, much more. You said in your word, I suppose that if everything could be written, all the books in the world could not contain what you've done. That is so true. And Lord, I pray for folks that are here this morning that it could be that Jesus Christ is coming back, and we know that you are, and they're not ready. And if you come back right now while I'm praying and they don't know you as their Savior, they will be left behind and they'll be stuck with 7 years of tribulation and probably death and then hell after that. But Lord, it doesn't have to be that way. All they need to do is say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, be my Savior, forgive my sins. They need to consider you and elect you, choose you as their Savior, their God, their King, their Lord. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, then you need to say these words, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, forgive my sins. I believe in you. Help me to trust you. Thank you for hearing my prayer. If you're here this morning, you're willing to say those words. Cornerstone, we're going to pray that together. We haven't done this for quite a while, but we need to. And if you don't know Christ, you need to elect him this morning by inviting him into your heart as your personal Savior. He will not come in. You have to invite him. You can know all about him, but if you've not invited him in, you don't know him. So you need to do this. You need to say this prayer, and you need to mix those words with faith and believe it. So let's say quietly, if you're willing to do this, then please repeat after us. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior. Forgive my sins. I believe in you. Help me to trust you. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. If you're on the main floor, not in the balcony, on the main floor, said, Stan, I prayed that prayer. I trusted Christ as my Savior. I said those words and I meant them. Would you raise your hand so I can see it? I won't embarrass you or point you out, but hold it up until I point to you. Say, yes, Stan, I trusted Christ as my Savior. I prayed that prayer. I elected him this morning. How about up in the balcony? I prayed that prayer. Trusted Christ as my Savior. Thank you. I see the hand. You can put it down. Somebody else. Trusted Christ as my Savior. Yes, sir. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we've bragged about you. We've talked about you. Now the choice is up to people, whether they will follow you, whether they will accept you. Thank you for the hand that I saw, and I pray that there's nobody leaving this building that does not have a personal relationship with you in their heart and life by saying, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. There is no other way. You are the way, the truth, not a way, you are the way, the only way. Thank you that you provided a way. God, I pray for the invitation for folks that will recognize that the only life that works is a life of faith and trust in you. Encourage, convict, comfort, answer prayer during our invitation this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.